If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 38, as we continue in our series, Recovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, that it is true. And I pray you just speak to especially women and girls today, Lord, how much you want them to be women and girls of God, Lord, to be serving you and totally surrendered to you. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. I hate to undeck your halls this Christmas, but the National Organization of Women just came out with a list of reasons why Santa Claus has to be a woman. Here's just a few. Santa Claus couldn't be a man because men don't answer mail. Santa couldn't be a man because men would rather die than be caught dead wearing red velvet. Santa couldn't be a man because men don't even think about getting Christmas gifts for anybody until it's too late on Christmas Eve. Men can't pack a bag. If Santa was a man, he'd get lost in the snow and the clouds because he wouldn't stop and ask directions. And finally, if Santa was a man, there'd be no reindeer because they'd all be shot, dead, gutted, and strapped to the bumper of his sleigh. Folks, can we just leave Santa Claus alone? For crying out loud, Santa Claus is not a woman. He is a man, the woke that stole Christmas. One of the biggest slams against girls and women today is this absolute demonic, intentional, purposeful blurring of the differences between men and women. Because they've thrown out the Bible that tells us what a woman really is. Well, what really is a woman? What is a woman really supposed to be? And what is a woman really supposed to do? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a short series for Christmas called Recovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Looking at Joseph and Mary in the Christmas story because they show us what it really means to be real men and women of God. Amen. Last week we looked at Joseph and saw what a man of God was really all about. And today we look at Mary to see what a woman of God is really all about. And to see that we turn today to Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 38. In this part of Luke chapter 1, we get the start of the Christmas story from the woman's perspective, from Mary's perspective. And our text today tells us what Mary had to do to make it happen, to bring Jesus Christ into the world. And the Holy Spirit is telling women today, if you want to be women of God who bring Jesus Christ into the world, you need to do exactly the same things that Mary does here. Our text this morning, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, tells women three things that you need to do to be the women of God that He has called you to be, and especially at Christmas time. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing women need to do to be a woman of God like Mary, you've got to have that favor with God. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 26 to 29. Because just for the record, Mary was a woman. She didn't just think she was a woman. She didn't just feel like she was a woman. She just didn't identify as a woman along the rainbow spectrum. It was Mary, not Mario. She didn't just get in touch with her feminine side because her feminine side was the only side that she had. All 37.2 trillion cells in her body had double X chromosomes. So regardless of what the American Medical Association says, she wasn't just a birthing person. She wasn't just a gestational carrier. She wasn't just a producer of eggs because that makes her sound like a chicken. Mary was a woman. Am I going too fast for anybody? And notice Mary wasn't just a woman. She was a woman of God because she had that favor with God. And that is exactly what the angel tells her here. Notice the angel knows what a woman is. Amen. Verse 29, he tells Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Very first time an angel in the Bible ever appeared to a teenage girl. And yet Mary doesn't call 911 or have to change her underwear. And the very fact that she can have a conversation with him proves that she really was a woman of God with a real heart for God. And verse 29, she's just tripping. How in the world could I be considered favored? Because Mary wasn't a cheerleader. She wasn't dating a football player. She didn't even have her braces off yet. And Mary was from this little podunk town in Galilee called Nazareth that was filled with crooks and half-breeds and Jews that didn't want to keep the law of Moses. And all the blue-blood Jews in Jerusalem would say over and over again, nothing good comes out of Nazareth and Galilee. So you talk about God slumming it. But verse 30, the angel said, "Did I stutter? You have found favor with God." Notice, she is not the favorite of God. She has found favor with God. Passive tense. Which means Mary didn't earn it or deserve it by building up enough brownie points. So this had absolutely nothing to do with what Mary had done for God. This had everything to do with what God was going to do for her. That Catholic prayer, "Hail Mary, full of grace," is right. It's true. Mary was full of grace. But it's not grace that she gives to other people. It was grace that she needed herself. And how do we know that? Because what the angel tells Mary here in this text is exactly the same thing that God says to every single one of us Christians. We all get grace that we do not deserve through Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "He will never leave us or forsake us." Favor with God. Women of God have that favor with God. And women, you need to remember that because the world today isn't showing you any favor at all. There really is a war on women. But listen to me. It's not coming from the right. It's coming from the left. Remember the Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson?
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
So stupid woke, she can't even admit what everybody's known since way back in the Garden of Eden. And what's the result of that attitude today? Today, we have women who are professionally helping men who identify as women look like women.
You want to go for the dress?
Let's go for the dress. What do you think?
Yeah.
Dress?
Yeah.
Okay. But this looks really
We're
good.
We're cramming a whole lot of experience into a very short period. So I actually listen to what she says.
Oh, I love
it. Oh, it's cute. Okay, really cute. Let me fix the boot. I say we do this,
okay.
Right?
We're good.
Why not? We've been kind of overdrawing her upper lip a bit because women tend to have much less space there than men. So that's kind of a feminizing technique.
Now, obviously, that guy has a mental disorder. But you talk about putting lipstick on a pig. That's all a woman is today. A guy just has to put on a dress and some makeup and say he's a woman, and he's a woman. That's all there is to it. My gosh, what an insult to women. Who's being misogynistic? Christine Villard, Nobel Prize winner in physiology, 1996, said this: "With 6,521 incontrovertible genetic differences between men and women, transgenderism, the idea that a man can become a woman, is absolute nonsense." Why does it matter what the definition of a woman is? Back in 2023, that guy right there, Daniel Coates, who pretends to be a woman, raped two women and got sentenced to prison in Ohio. But then just last September, he was transferred to a woman's prison just because he said he was a woman. And while he was there, he raped a two-month-old baby girl in the maternity wing of that prison. My God, people, do we see what this demonic freak show is doing, especially to girls and women? Do we see why it matters what the definition of a woman is? There's women listening to this sermon right now. You will never be a real woman of God if you don't have that favor with God. And notice, it's got absolutely nothing to do with Mary. Mary is not God. She is not the Redeemer. She is not sinless. Mary does not give grace. Mary needs grace. Luke chapter 1, verse 47, she says, "My soul rejoices in God my Savior." What Savior? Her Savior. Who needs a Savior? A sinner. So Mary is admitting in that verse, she is a sinner and she needs a Savior. She needs the Savior, her Son, Jesus Christ. Pop singer Katy Perry grew up Pentecostal, and her first recording was a gospel CD before she went off the deep end. But Katy Perry still has a tattoo of the name Jesus on her left wrist. But women, in case you don't realize, it's not enough to have Jesus on your outside. You've got to have Jesus on your inside. You've got to confess your sin to God. You've got to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. So you can have Jesus Christ inside of you spiritually, like Mary had Jesus inside of her physically. Real women of God have that favor with God through Jesus Christ. Real women of God know that God meant them to be women from the very start. One month, however many years ago, one of your mom's ovaries chose one of thousands and thousands of her eggs, got some support cells to fatten it up, and then escorted it into one of your mom's fallopian tubes. And that egg contained every single thing that was necessary to create you except the DNA from one of your dad's sperm. And that egg had to get a date in a hurry, because if it wasn't fertilized in 2 days, it was going to die. So when your mom and dad were busy making you, your dad released 300 million sperm. Every one of those sperm carrying a slightly different genetic package that would have altered the features that you have right now. And those sperm immediately started swimming for their lives, because that part of a woman's body is very acidic and tries to take out all foreign invaders. Now, about 60% of every guy's sperm, even healthy guys, is abnormal and can't swim. So 60% of those sperm were dead on arrival right off the bat. So about 120 million survived. And more of them got voted off the island every step along the way. The next biggest obstacle was the cervix, the passageway into the uterus. Because the cervix, most of the time, is completely closed by mucus to keep bacteria out. But 2 days a month, tiny passageways open up in that cervix to allow the sperm to get into the uterus. And about 10% of them made it, about 12 million. And know their sperm were 12 million sperm, 6 inches away from the egg. Now, the sperm that got there too fast, the egg's defenses killed them all. So there's only about 10,000 left. 10,000 sperm out of the original 300 million, swimming upstream like salmon, desperate for a booty call. But when the sperm starts circling the egg releases a chemical that alters the coating of some of the sperm, like the bachelorette handing out roses. And the chosen sperm get drawn into the fallopian tube, and all other sperm that don't get lucky, sayonara. So only about 200 sperm are left out of the original 300 million. And the 200 sperm are right next to the egg. But then there's another challenge, because the egg plays hard to get. Because the egg has a thick outer shell called the zona that the sperm can't break through on its own. Because the egg demands a proper introduction. A protein pattern on one of the sperm caps has to match up precisely with a protein pattern on the egg surface. And only one of the surviving 200 sperm will have that perfect matching pattern. So the egg hunts and finds that one perfect pattern, kicks out all the other sperm, allowing that one sperm to fuse with the egg. And then, and only then, the egg finally takes the sperm in, sucks the entire content of the sperm, all the DNA and the 23 chromosomes into itself. Fertilization complete, cells start to divide, hookup successful. And what determines whether you are really a boy or a girl? Every cell in your body has 46 chromosomes, 23 pairs of two. 23 from your mother's egg, 23 from your father's sperm. The 23rd chromosome on a woman's egg is always X. The 23rd chromosome on a man's sperm is either X or Y. If it's X, you're a girl. If it's Y, you're a boy. And your parents had absolutely no control over that. But God did. Parents cannot determine the gender of their children by mom eating artichokes or Mexican food or dad wearing boxers instead of tidy whities. God is the one who determines what gender you are at the moment of conception. Amen. Folks, do you honestly believe With that kind of long, drawn out, meticulous, miraculous process, superintended by God Himself every single step along the way, do you honestly think God made a mistake when it came to your gender? That one unique egg out of thousands and thousands of others, and that one unique sperm out of over 300 million others, overcoming those kind of odds, navigating that kind of obstacle course to come together to create you, depending on that last chromosome that God specifically chooses and places there Himself at the last nanosecond? Don't you realize your life is an absolute miracle of God? So you are not an accident. You are not a freak of nature, like evolution says. You are not a mistake, like the trans activists say. You are not a man trapped in a woman's body. You are not a woman trapped in a man's body. You are purposely male or female by God's own choosing. Amen. Purposely, miraculously created, just like you are, by Almighty God. He knit you together in your mother's womb. His eyes saw your unformed body. Your face was not hidden from Him when He made you in the secret place. Every day ordained for you has already been written in a book before one of them came to be. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Women, ladies, girls, you are exactly the person, you are exactly the sex, you are exactly the gender that you are supposed to be. You are woman, period. And the favor of God is all over your life if you would just accept it. The first thing women need to do to be a woman of God like Mary, you need to have that favor with God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing that women need to do to have that, be a woman like Mary is. You not only need to have that favor with God, you also need to receive that calling from God. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 30 to 37, because Mary gets her calling here. Verses 31 to 35, the angel tells Mary she is going to birth God to the entire planet. He's going to take the creator of the universe, the master of all time, space, and dimension, put Him in a little human body, stick Him in here, and she's going to pump Him out. I feel bad because when I was born, my mom had to have me. I was 10 pounds, 11 ounces. Mary's going to give birth to God. And without an epidural, because there were no drugs back then. And verse 34, she's not doubting, she's just asking, Angel Gabriel, did you flunk biology? Because I've never even had sex. I've never even given a guy my snap. Verse 35, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. So the baby daddy is going to be the Spirit of God, because the baby is going to be the Son of God. God's calling on Mary's life was to birth Jesus Christ into the world. And women of God, that is exactly the same calling that God has on your life too. But know this, you try to fulfill that calling, it's going to cost you. It cost Mary here. She was planning a wedding. She had just said yes to the dress and now she's pregnant. She was even going to have a chocolate fountain at the reception. Want to hear God laugh? Make a plan. And Joseph didn't believe her story. So instead of planning a wedding, Mary's planning a divorce. And I could just hear what the neighbors were saying. I told you those parents shouldn't have let that girl have a phone. And instead of having a wedding shower, she could have had a baby shower. But her friends thought she was a skank and they all ghosted her. Women, listen to me. Do you realize that favor with God means you have a calling from God? So favor with God does not mean you're going to get Kate Spade purses and dates with Ryan Gosling. Because a calling from God, favor with God, is not about status, it's about service. God overlooked all the beautiful people in the entire nation of Israel and picked one ordinary girl named Mary to birth Jesus Christ into the world. Why? Because He picks ordinary people like you and me to birth Jesus Christ to the world today. Women included. I hear all kinds of women constantly praying for revival. I'm praying for it too. Lord, please send revival. Please send revival. We hear from the women. God already has, because He sent you. He sent you into your school and into your home and into your job and into your business. Some women listen to this sermon. God sent you into your church to make that happen.
Amen. That's right.
You just got to understand that calling and start operating in it. But know this. It's going to cost you. My wife, Sue, went to work for Billy Graham Evangelistic Association Film Ministry in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Then she started working for Samaritan's Purse and World Medical Mission in Boone, North Carolina with Franklin Graham. She worked with Franklin Graham. And if she had stayed there, she would be a part of one of the greatest Christian ministries that operates all over the world. But instead, 1985, 1986, God called her to go back to our hometown of Watseka and be the executive assistant at a hospital there. And to meet up with dumpy little Kevin Garner. My wife Sue could have been traveling all over the world today. She could be hobnobbing and doing business and ministering to some of the greatest Christian leaders on the face of the earth and writing articles for magazines. But instead, she's married to me and doing counseling in a little country church. That's the calling of God. Actress Patricia Heaton, who played Deb on Everybody Loves Raymond, outspoken Christian. Mother's Day 2000. She sent out a tweet praying for the sanctity of life. And because of that, that woman has not gotten one audition in Hollywood for one single movie, not one single network television show since. Count the cost. Favor with God will always cost you favor with men. So women, let me ask you, what is God calling you to do to birth Jesus Christ into the world? And you need to remember that, young women especially, because the devil and the world have a plan for your life too. They've got a calling on your life, and it's not for you to birth Jesus into the world, it's for you to be sold out to the world. If you're a girl in America today, you're being told that you need to look hot and right swipe worthy, which today means skinny, looking like Skeletor. Because hey, you can never be too thin, right? See the message that girls are getting in America today? And young women, your generation absolutely likes to be liked. Look at me. Notice me. Somebody pay attention to me. One out of three teenage girls in America today wants to be a social media influencer. One out of three. Because they want the attention and they don't want to work a real job. They want to be somebody that guys follow on TikTok. And where's that going to get you? 10 years from now? What is the world calling you to do versus what God is calling you to do? Girls, do you think that there's any connection? Do you think there's any reason why the most narcissistic generation in the history of this country is also the most suicidal generation in the history of this country? Girls want attention. Women want respect. There's a difference. If you're a girl in America today, you're told that you need to be dating a guy. And if you're dating a guy, you need to be having sex. If you're not having sex, you at least to be having, at least you need to be sending him naked pictures. Really. Here's Lila Borneman. Single, Pringle, single as a Pringle, and ready to mingle, right? No. Because she doesn't want to get married. Not yet. If you don't want to get married, what's the purpose of dating and having a boyfriend? How many of y'all realize the Bible has no concept at all of boyfriend? So every guy in this girl's life is either a brother in Christ or he's a future husband. So guys, you better get serious because this girl ain't playing around. Researchers, University of Texas, said teenage girls in America who date are 25 times more likely to be depressed and suicidal than girls who don't date. Did everybody catch that? You're more depressed if you do date than if you don't. And what about sexting? Last August, Palmdale, California, 15-year-old girl named Avery Norris, of course, had a boyfriend that told her if she didn't send him naked pictures, he was going to break up with her. And also promised her, of course, once she sent those pictures, he wouldn't share them with anybody else. So, of course, Avery Norris took some pictures of herself taking a bath, sent them to her boyfriend, and of course, the very nanosecond he got them, he posted them to every single person in their school. So, of course, Avery Norris, last August the 15th, hung herself in her bedroom closet and committed suicide. Girls, how many times does it have to happen? How many times? Because God has a calling on your life. And it is not to make yourself look good. It is to make Jesus Christ look good. One of the most special callings that women have on their lives is to be a mother and to have children. And we have no idea, how strong that bond is between a mother and her child. Doctors say one of the most incredible things that happen when a pregnant woman is carrying a baby, cells from the mother pass through the placenta into the unborn baby to help the baby develop. But about 6 months along, 6 weeks along, cells from the baby also start passing into the mother. And those cells from the baby embed themselves in every part of the mother's body so that they become a part of her. A process called fetal-maternal microchimerism. And the cells from the baby are like stem cells. So if the mom has some lung damage, the cells from the baby can literally become lung cells and help heal them. If moms have some brain damage, which all mothers of children do have brain damage, the cells from the baby can become brain cells and help heal that too. Psalm 127 verse 3, children really are a blessing from the Lord. But those cells can also hurt the mom because they can contribute to things like autoimmune disease and things like arthritis. So kids, when your mom tells you that you really are a pain in the neck or that you're a pain in the butt, that's absolutely true. She ain't just whistling Dixie because the cells from your body as a baby are literally a part of her. They are inside of her, a part of who she is. Fetal-maternal microchimerism. And get this, the cells from the baby stay in the mother's body for life. So mom, your kids really do get in your head. And you really do have your kids in your heart forever. So those kids really are in every part of you, body, soul, and spirit. Remember the mom who wakes up at 2:30 in the morning just knowing there's something wrong with her son? So she goes to his bedroom and finds out he stopped breathing and calls 911 and saves his life? Or the mom who just knows her daughter's in trouble and calls her just when the daughter's falling asleep driving the car and it keeps the daughter from running off the road? Moms, that is a Holy Ghost superpower that God has given you because your kids really are, literally are, a part of you. And that's why it makes it so hard when parents have to let them go. Mary had to do it. 33 years after Jesus was born, after Mary supported Jesus and the disciples for 3.5 years during their ministry. John 19:25 to 27, there was Mary standing in front of his cross. And Joseph wasn't there because Joseph had died. Mary was a single mom when Jesus was conceived. Mary is a single mom again when Jesus dies. They told her he was a king. And now there's this cross. And the hands with the little fingers that she used to count when he was still crawling now have iron spikes pounded through them. And the feet that used to kick her in the ribs when she was pregnant with him, carrying him, now have iron spikes pounded through them. The old prophet Simeon, 33 years earlier, the day that Jesus was circumcised in the temple, told Mary, one day a sword will pierce your own soul as well. And don't tell me that's not what Mary was feeling right there. Fetal-maternal microchimerism. Ended the relationship. Because when Jesus speaks to Mary from the cross, he doesn't call her mother. John 19:26, he calls her woman. Mary knows he has to let him go for whatever it is that God wants for him. Because just seconds later, Jesus turns from mommy to daddy and says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Mary has to let him go. Because God's plans for him are far bigger than anything that Mary could ever imagine on her own. So as hard as it was, even though Jesus was literally, physically, spiritually a part of her own body, Mary had to let go of her child. And there's women sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You need to do exactly the same thing. Because you lost a child too. You've got to let them go, as hard as it is. We've got moms in this church that have done that. Virginia Killian lost her daughter, Jackie Van Joski. Rita Bebar lost her daughter, Kim Bebar. And I'm not saying that the dads weren't torn up about it too, because they certainly were, but moms especially. Because when those caskets were lowered into the ground, a part of them, a real literal piece of their own heart, went down in the ground with them. Those moms had to let those kids go and give them to the Lord. And then they did that, and that's the only reason that they survived. And there's moms, there's women listening to this sermon right now. You need to do exactly the same thing, because you lost a child too. But you've never dealt with the grief. You just keep hanging on and hanging on to it. You've got to let them go. You've got to take those kids to the Lord and say, Father, into your hands, I commit their spirit. Or you will never fulfill the calling that God has on your life. Because yes, He's called you to be a mother, but He's called you to do other things too. There's women listening to the sermon right now. Mothers, you lost children other ways. They're not dead, but they're dead to the things of God. You lost them to the world. You need to do exactly the same thing. You've got to let them go. All those kids that have walked away from the Lord. That daughter who's pregnant and shacked up with a drug addict. All the children that identify as LGBTQ. That son that absolutely will not quit drinking. All those children. You don't even know where they are anymore. You got to give them to the Lord. You got to let them go. Because they belong to Him even more than they belong to you. And God has plans for them that are a lot bigger than you could ever imagine. If you let them go. You've got to let them go. Because you can't heal them, but God can. And I know it's hard because they are literally, physically, spiritually a part of your own body. Heart and soul. You've got to let them go. Let them go. And you got to realize when you let them go, you're not throwing them away. You're not giving up on Him. You are giving them to the Lord so He can do what only He can do. And He gives you this promise, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16. He will bring your children back from the land of the enemy. So let them go, because that is the only thing that can touch it. That is the only thing that can change their heart. That is the only thing that can save their soul and fulfill that calling that God has on your life. The second thing that women need to do to be a woman of God like Mary, you need to receive that calling from God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing women need to do to be a woman of God like Mary. You not only have that favor with God, you not only need to receive that calling from God, but third, you need to surrender yourself to God. And that's also what we see here in verse 38. Catholics make too much of Mary. Evangelicals make too little of Mary. Because you can't love Jesus and totally ignore His mother like most evangelicals do. Because Mary is an incredible example of what it means to surrender your life to God and His will. She's 13 years old. She wasn't ready to have a baby. She wasn't prepared to have a baby. But she does it. Verse 38, I am the Lord's maidservant. Maidservant, King James, what it's supposed to be. Maidservant means the lowest servant on the totem pole. The one who is willing to do all the dirtiest jobs nobody else wanted to do. May it be to me as you have said, not my will, but your will be done. Sound familiar? Because Jesus says, Luke chapter 22, verse 27, I am among you as one who serves. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. Where do you think He got it from? Mary is an incredible example of what it means to surrender your life to God and His will. And there's women listening to this sermon right now. You got to realize surrendering does not mean you are weak. Because Mary wasn't weak. Mary was the mother of the Son of God. And she wasn't just a mother. She was also a singer and a songwriter and a worship leader. She helped support Jesus and disciples for 3.5 years. Mary had a ministry. She was called and gifted and appointed and anointed by God. There's some women listening to this sermon. One of the ways you need to surrender to God is by submitting to your husband in your marriage. Ephesians 5:21. And not because men are any better or smarter than women, but simply because man was created first and he's supposed to be the spiritual leader. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Amen. And women, the Bible does not say you submit to all men, especially the bad ones. And women aren't supposed to pastor churches because God appointed 0 women to be priests in the Old Testament. And the only woman who was ever king over Israel was the daughter of Jezebel, 2 Kings chapter 11. Oh my goodness. But women can do ministry. Billy Graham said of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, my best men are women. Women can do ministry in the church. Women can lead ministry in the church. And why? Because God doesn't want women to be weak. He wants them to be strong. So women, let me ask you this morning, are you strong in the Lord? Are you a strong woman? You say, Kevin, yeah, I'm Wonder Woman. I wonder where my keys are. I wonder where my kids are. I wonder where my phone is. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Strong. There's all kinds of strong Christian women all over America right now. Riley Gaines, born again Christian. 2-time All-American swimmer, 5-time Southeastern Conference champion, world record in the 200-meter butterfly, Olympic trials, SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year. 2022, the NCAA chose female impersonator Leah Thomas over her as NCAA Female Athlete of the Year. So ever since then, Riley Gaines has been traveling all over the world, speaking out against transgender nonsense, trying to save women's sports and sharing the gospel. Strong woman. Last November the 5th, a man named Tim McBride, who pretends to be a woman named Sarah, was elected as a representative from the state of Delaware. First transgender ever elected to U.S. Congress. Oh my goodness, how historic. But then Representative Nancy Mace from South Carolina, who's a born-again Christian and also a sexual assault survivor, started demanding that Tim McBride never be allowed to use a women's bathroom on Capitol Hill or anywhere on federal property. This is what she said about it on Scripps News.
So this is a fight it's worth fighting for, and I'll bring nukes to the radical left. Knife fights, not okay, not on my watch, and I'm going to put it into it.
I just want to add that the congresswoman-elect does identify as a woman. I will be...
She's not a woman. It's a man. She was born a man. She's a man. She's biologically a male. That is science. You guys on the left in the mainstream media want to say, follow the science. Well, let's follow the science, okay? He is a man. He can wear a dress. He can call himself. His pronouns can be she or her. But he doesn't belong in a women's restroom, period. And so the question is, do I have rights as a woman? Are not, and I'm not going to allow the media or Congress to strip away women's rights for 0.5% of people out there that more than likely he's got a mental illness, and this is why he's doing this. He should not be forcing his private parts into women's private spaces. I'm absolutely a no hard pass on this, and I'm going to fight it every step of the way.
Amen. Call out that demonic nonsense for what it really is. Last February the 2nd, Lake Jackson, Texas, a mother named Phyllis Pena caught a 19-year-old peeping Tom staring into the bedroom window of her 15-year-old daughter. And when that perp took off, mom did that.
Now to some dramatic video of a Texas mom taking down a suspected peeping Tom. Police dash camera captured the moment. Phyllis Pena tackles the 19-year-old suspect as he was running from police. Pena says she caught the man peeking into her 15-year-old daughter's bedroom. She held him down until police caught up.
The cop, you know, fist bumped me and he was like, hey, so I heard Texans are looking for a new linebacker.
The suspect was booked into jail, facing charges of possession of a controlled substance and evading arrest.
Way to go, Mom.
Mama Bear in action. Tackled the guy and held him there until the police showed up. That lady could play for the Dallas Cowboys. Strong woman. Remember Christine Weeks, who showed up at the Texas State Capitol in Austin on so-called Muslim Dominance Day?
Celebrates the 7th Texas Muslim Capitol Day. We are honored. Thank you.
Proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over the capital of Texas. I stand against Islam and the false prophet Muhammad.
Here we go.
Islam will never dominate the United States, and by the grace of God, it will not dominate Texas.
I like that.
You go, girl. Women, listen to me. God may have called you to marriage and family, but he called you to do more than that too. Because Jesus Christ did not come down to this earth and die on a cross and rise from the dead just so you could do Elf on the Shelf and remodel your kitchen. Jesus Christ came down to this earth and died on a cross and rose from the dead so you would storm the gates of hell and be the devil's worst nightmare and public enemy number one to the kingdom of darkness. Princess nothing, you are Batwoman with the Holy Spirit. The problem in America today is not strong women. The problem in America today is strong women who are not submitted and surrendered to God. And it's destroying the fabric of this country. It's destroying families. It's destroying this nation. And it's everywhere. The women on The View. I rest my case. Everything today is all about empowering girls like Moana. Girls today are supposed to be brat and rough and tough and mean and nasty and spit and fight. They're supposed to be able to kick a guy's butt. Girls, listen to me. You are not being applauded today for being feminine. You are being applauded today for being masculine. Parents are raising their girls to be guys. You've heard of misogyny, the hatred of women? There really is such a thing called misandry, and it means hatred of men. See what the raffles are doing all over America right now, ever since Donald Trump won last November the 5th? They're showing up on lakefronts and beachfronts and doing that. Screaming at the top of their lungs. You heard of toxic masculinity? There really is such a thing as toxic femininity. And who are girls' role models today? Kamala Harris, who pushed communism, unrestricted baby murder, LGBTQ rights without any religious exemptions for Christians' religious freedom at all. Spirit of Jezebel with a counterfeit anointing. Girls' role models today are Taylor Swift. Even though she claims to be a Christian, she does witchcraft during her concerts. Number one movie for girls in America right now is what? Wicked. About witches. So at this time of the year, at Christmas time, instead of girls focusing on Jesus and the wise men from the east, they're focusing on the devil and the wicked witch of the west. On purpose. Because it's all designed to make women think they're not really women. And there's women sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. There's all kinds of things out there in the world right now that are making you feel like you're not a woman either. Because every single day you get the message from the world that you're not a woman anymore. Because you don't have the best looking butt in Hollywood like J-Lo. You got junk in your trunk. You don't have legs that go all the way up to your neck like Hailey Bieber does. You don't look like supermodel Bella Hadid. You got a mom bod and you're not even a mom. Your breasts aren't as big as all the other girls in high school and you feel like a freak. Like you're fat and ugly and stupid. And you've been rejected. All the while you were growing up, your mom told you she wished that you'd been a boy. You've been rejected by all kinds of guys who took advantage of you sexually and just used you and then dumped you. And you feel so guilty. You're cutting yourself and puking up everything you eat because you were sexually molested by an uncle. And you never told anybody. And now you feel like you're damaged goods. You don't feel like a girl. You don't feel like a woman. And you just want to die. There's women listening to this sermon right now. There's an emptiness inside because you never got married. You never had a special guy in your life. And there's always been this feeling like, God, what was wrong with me? You're divorced. And even though you did everything you could to save your marriage, your husband treated you like dirt. But you still feel like it was all your fault. You raised your kids to know the Lord. And now they've all walked away. And you think you're a horrible mom. You don't feel like a real woman. And you're getting older and your hair is getting thin. And you had a mastectomy and you don't think your husband finds you attractive anymore. Because you've seen how he notices younger women with the yoga pants and the hair down in the middle of their back. And you know that you can't compete with that. You don't feel like a woman anymore. And I have to tell you, the problem is you're looking at the wrong image. Because you were not created by God, by the world, for the world. You were created by God, for God. And God does not intend you to be conformed to the image of the world. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ. You're not supposed to look like them. You're supposed to look like Him. Women, you try to look like them, the world will judge you. And trolls on social media will tell you to go kill yourself. But you try to look like him, Jesus Christ will accept you. And every single day, he will give you every single thing that you need to become more and more like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. In the flesh, you will never be the woman that the world says you should be. But in the spirit, you already are the woman that God says you should be. You say, but Kevin, I'm a sinner and I still sin. Yeah, but you got to realize the devil does not attack you and tempt you because you're weak. The devil attacks you and tempts you because you're strong and because he knows the calling that God has on your life and what you can do for the kingdom. Yes, women, you have failed God, but notice he has never failed you because he is still with you. He is still with you even if you do got junk in your trunk, even if you do got a back 40, even if your calves do look like cows, even if it looks like you fell through an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. He's still with you. So you're not short. You're just fun size. You're not fat. You're just the next big thing. And you are still hot. It just comes in flashes now. And those flashes are power surges. And you don't need tattoos because you got varicose veins. You're not getting older. You're just increasing in value. So women of God, for crying out loud, the world did not create you. The world will not define you. God created you. God is the one who will define you. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. If God is for you, nobody can be against you because the Jesus is in you is greater than everything in this world that is against you. So women of God, for heaven's sakes, get to your feet, stand up, set your jaw. The righteous shall roar like a lion. Let's show the men how to do it. Women of God, let's hear you roar. We'll work on it. You just got to surrender to him. You just got to surrender to God and everything that he's doing in your life, as hard as it may be. She did. Back in 2020, she lost her husband, Al, to heart attack and to cancer. And I will never forget what this woman said. She said, "This is not anything that I wanted or expected, but it's what he wants." She surrendered, and she's still here. And there's women listening to the sermon right now. You need to do exactly the same thing. Whatever God did to your life in the past, whatever God is doing to your life right now, whatever God is going to do to your life in the future, you just need to surrender to it. Amen. Simple childlike faith, just like Mary did. Even if you don't understand it. Even if you cannot figure out why in the world God allowed it to happen. Even if what God did to you in the past and what God is doing with your life right now to fulfill the calling that he has for your life is absolutely breaking your heart. You've got to surrender to it. Simple childlike faith, just like Mary did. So where are all those women today who, just like Mary, are going to say, "Kevin, whatever. Whatever God does, whatever he wants, I'm in. I'll do it. I'll accept it. Amen. Whatever. Whatever he's done for you, to you in the past, whatever he's doing in your life right now, and from here on out, whether it blesses me or hurts me to teach me, whether it gives or takes away, God, I'm in. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as he has said." Mary had to do that multiple times. Mary had to do that when the angel told her that she was going to be pregnant with Jesus. Mary had to do that when she saw Jesus, her only son, nailed to a cross. Mary had to do that when they saw Jesus' lifeless body put in that tomb. And what happened after that? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The Holy Spirit specifically wants us to know that after Jesus' death and resurrection on the day of Pentecost, Mary was in that upper room with the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So for the rest of Mary's life, the one who was with her was going to be within her. So women, I don't care what kind of hurt you're dealing with today. Marriage, family, never got married, got divorced, lost a baby, lost a husband, whatever it is. Stand through it. If you can't stand through it, you crawl through it. Because when it's all over with, I promise you, he will make it up to you. Those of you who lost a child, those of you who lost a husband, there's going to be one heck of a family reunion in heaven, isn't there? But it all starts with you surrendering and giving it to God. God is looking for one woman today. He's looking for one woman in this church who's willing to surrender everything to him so he can use you to change the world. It starts by being that servant. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Lord, make me that servant. Salvation you've given us. I pray for everyone here, man and women both. Lord, if there is someone here today that hasn't trusted you as their Savior, they would do that today. If there's somebody here today, man or woman, male or female, still hasn't surrendered or given up something to you, Lord, they would do that today and just move on, Lord, with the calling that you have. Broken hearts, broken dreams. Just thank you, Lord, that you can fix it all. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen. Go in peace.